Since April of 1985, this is the DX Audio Service.
Welcome to the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service for October 2007. This is issue number 271, and if you'd like to write to us here at the DX Audio Service, our address is 706 McKenzie Drive, Lima, Ohio, 45805-1835. Telephone number is 360-382-1957. A subscription to the DX Audio Service for U.S. and Canadian members is $28. To Europe and elsewhere, it's $40. Tapes are sent by first-class mail, and you keep your cassettes. To subscribe, make a check payable to the National Radio Club Incorporated and send them to me at the address that is mentioned, or simply log on to our website at www.nrcdxas.org, and you can sign up using our PayPal credit card system. You can also sign up to EDXN and get your DX Audio Service on your computer or iPod player in stereo. A subscription to EDXN is only $15. Just point your browser to http://www.e-dxn.com and subscribe online with the PayPal credit card system, or you can contact Wayne Heinen at Post Office Box 473-251, Aurora, Colorado 80047-3251 if you want to pay by check. Well, you know, I'm kind of ripping through this because we got a lot of material to cover. We got a lot of gruesome faces on this Halloween edition, so let's go right over to number one pumpkin himself. Here's Bill Hale from Fort Worth.
Thanks, Fred, and welcome everyone to the DX Audio Services AM Switch for October 2007. First of all, call letter changes on 540, a new station in Sauk Rapids, Minnesota. They've chosen WXYG for their call sign. On 740, KKAG, Fargo, North Dakota, KVOX is their new call. On 810 in Boulder, Colorado, KLDC has changed to KLVZ. 900 WGAM, Nashua, New Hampshire, changed their call to WGHM. 920 WKRT, Cortland, New York, pencil in WYBY for their new call. On 1010, WNTK, Newport, New Hampshire, WCNL is their new call. 1220 KLVZ, Denver, Colorado. They swapped with the 810 station, and they're now KLDC. 1240 WLYJ, Jasper, Alabama. Their new call is WZTQ. 1280 KVOX, Moorhead, Minnesota. KVXR is their new call. 1410 KBAL, down in San Saba, Texas. KVNR is their call. 1560 WZTQ in Center, Alabama, they've changed to WLYJ. 1590 KIXC, Hilo, Hawaii, their new call is KILE. And finally, on 1600 KZGX in Watertown, Minnesota, mark KPNP in their logbook for their new call. Moving on now to construction permits on the air, 630 WMAL in Washington, D.C., their construction permit for U4, that's two different patterns, day and night, 10,000 watts during the day, 5,000 watts at night, is now on. The new day pattern is directed to the south-southeast. 890 KTXV, Maybank, Texas, the CP for U4, 20,000 watts daytime, 250 watts at night from three towers using all three day and night, is now on. The day pattern shows major lobes to the southeast and northwest and a minor lobe to the southwest, while the night pattern is kidney-shaped with lobes to the northwest and south-southeast. 1220 WOEG, Hazelhurst, Mississippi. Their construction permit for 164 watts during the day, 33 watts at night, all non-directional, is on the air. The reduction in power is necessitated because they have almost doubled the height of their new tower to accommodate their FM station's increase in height above average terrain. 1270 KBFL, Hampton, South Carolina. Their CP for 10,000 watts during the day, 219 watts at night, all non-directional, is now on. 1380 KWJL, Lancaster, California. Their CP for U4, 1,000 watts during the day, 20 watts at night, is on. And the station still has a CP for U5, which means directional daytime, non-directional nighttime, 1,000 watts during the day, 11 watts at night, along with a city of license change to Rosamond, California. 1450 WVLD, Valdosta, Georgia. Their CP for 860 watts day and night, U1, is now on. 1540 WREJ, Richmond, Virginia. Their construction permit to add night operation as U4, 10,000 watts during the day, 7 watts at night, is now on. 1550 WMSK, Morganfield, Kentucky. Their CP for U1, 145 watts during the day, 6 watts at night, is now on. 1570 KBRI, Brinkley, Arkansas. Their construction permit for 250 watts during the day, 23 watts at night, is now on the air. 1580 WVKO, Columbus, Ohio. Their CP for U4, 3200 watts during the day, 290 watts at night, is finally licensed and on the air from a new three-tower site, using two during the day and all three at night. 1590 KWEY, Weatherford, Oklahoma. Their CP for U4, 1000 watts during the day, 32 watts at night, is now on. And 1600 WCGO, Chicago Heights, Illinois. Their CP for U4, 1000 watts during the day, 23 watts at night, is on. And that closes out CPs now on the air. Our next stop along the way, of course, is actions taken during the past month. 790 KGHL, Billings, Montana. A CP has been granted for U1, 5000 watts during the day, 1800 watts at night, from a new 328-foot tower. 800 WSVS, Crewe, Virginia. They're licensed for U1, 5,000 watts daytime, 275 watts at night. They've applied for U1, 10,000 during the day, 275 at night, then amended their request to U1, 10,000 daytime, 270 at night, and that has been approved. 860 CFFX, Kingston, Ontario. They've been approved to move to 104.3 with 4 kilowatts. 960 WFIR, Roanoke, Virginia. A CP has been granted for U2, 10,000 watts daytime, 4,800 watts at night. 1130 WACQ, Carville, Alabama. They've been granted a CP for D1, 25,000 watts. That D1 is non-directional, of course, and 1,000 watts during critical hours. Also on 1130 WASP, Brownsville, Pennsylvania. They're now licensed for D1, 1,000 watts daytime, and 1,000 watts during critical hours, adding that CH designation. 1150 WJBO, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. They've been granted a CP for U4, 15,000 watts during the day, 5,000 watts at night, after adding a fourth tower. The new daytime pattern shoots a large, slender lobe toward the east-southeast, with secondary lobes toward the northwest, west, and southwest. 1170 WKFL, Bushnell, Florida. A CP has been granted for D4. That means daytime-only station, but having a critical hours designation, so there's two different patterns involved. 10,000 watts during the day, 5,000 watts critical hours. Both patterns shoot the signal to the west-southwest. 1190 KRFT, University City, Missouri. A CP has been granted for U4, 10,000 watts during the day, 6,500 watts at night. They're moving from DeSoto, Missouri, and increasing the nighttime power. The new night facility is a separate six-tower site in Monroe County, Illinois. 1210 KPRZ, San Marcos, Poway, California. A CP has been granted for U4, 20,000 watts during the day, 30,000 watts at night. They're now licensed for U4, 20,000 daytime, 10,000 nighttime. They had previously applied and received a CP for U4, 40,000 during the day, 10,000 at night, but then applied for this U4, 20,000, 30,000 arrangement, and that has been approved. 1270 KRVT, Claremore, Oklahoma. A CP has been granted for U2, 5,000 watts during the day and 1,000 watts at night. 1300 KSET, Silsbee, Texas. A CP has been granted for U4, 1500 watts during the day, 320 watts at night, increasing day power and adding night operation. 1340 WYCB, Washington, D.C. A CP has been granted to relocate their transmitter site to an existing self-supporting tower while remaining U1, 1000 watts day and night. They'll be diplexing with WOL 1450, which we'll hear about in a minute or two. 1380 WKDM, New York City. CP has been granted for U4, 5,000 daytime watts as they are now, but they're upping their nighttime power to 13,000 watts and changing the night pattern. They've added, or they will add, one tower to their inline array of three located just north of the Meadowlands Sports Complex in Carlstadt, New Jersey. Both patterns continue to throw all their signal to the southeast into the Atlantic Ocean. CKLC 1380, Kingston, Ontario. They've been approved to move to 98.9 megahertz with 8.7 kilowatts. 1450 WOL, Washington, D.C. After operating under an STA, that means Special Temporary Authority, with U1, 250 watts day and night from that site that they're at, a CP has been granted to officially relocate their transmitter site to Diplex with WYCB 1340, as we mentioned before. Their new facilities will be U1, 370 watts day and night. 1490 KWAC, Bakersfield, California. A CP has been granted for 640 watts day and night non-directional from a new 250-foot tower. 1520 WDCY, Douglasville, Georgia. A CP has been granted to build four new towers in order to increase their power to become D3, 50,000 watts, daytime only. And finally, 1540 WKVQ, Eatonton, Georgia. CP has been granted to move to 1540 from 1520 and increase their power to become D1, 10,000 watts during the day and 1,600 watts during critical hours. Eight new stations have been granted by the FCC this past month. On 670, a station in Las Vegas, Nevada, already with the calls of KBTB, they've been granted U4, 10,000 watts during the day, 600 watts at night from five towers, using five during the day and four at night. The day pattern is directed northwest, while the night pattern heads southeast. On 820 in Escanaba, Michigan, a new station has been granted U4, 2,500 watts during the day and 750 watts at night. On 920, a new station in Quantico, Virginia, they've been granted 2,000 daytime watts, 970 watts at night, two different patterns, U4. The day pattern favors the northeast and southwest, while the night pattern shoots all the signals southeast. 1060, a new station in Arroyo Grande, California. They've been granted U4, 10,000 watts daytime, 710 watts at night. 1240, Carbondale, Colorado. CP has been granted U1, 1,000 watts day and night. 1400, a new station in Eureka, California. They've been granted 790 watts day and night non-directional. 1480 in Wink, Texas. They've been granted a CP for U2, 1,000 watts during the day, 250 watts at night. And 1530, a new station has been granted in Billings, Montana. They'll have 50,000 watts during the day, 750 watts at night, and 10,000 watts during critical hours, all using different patterns, and we designate that U7. A couple of license cancellations this past month. 1120 WDUF in Duffield, Virginia is all but erased from the FCC database. And on 1430 KALV, Alva, Oklahoma is considered as deleted by the FCC, although Glenn Hauser reports they are still on, so it's likely we haven't heard the end of that one yet. One other item of interest this month, 1210 KHAT, Laramie, Wyoming. They've applied for a special temporary authorization to operate U1, 10,000 daytime watts, 250 watts at night, as lightning struck a tower and damaged the phasing equipment, which is required for night operation. They're normally licensed for U2, meaning they're directional at night, 10,000 watts daytime, and 1,000 watts at night. Repairs at this moment are ongoing. Some odds and ends from here and there off the air. WASG 550, Atmore, Alabama. KDJQ 890, Meridian, Idaho. KRAM 1070, West Klamath, Oregon. And KETX 1440, Livingston, Texas. Stations reported back on KHNR 880, Honolulu, Hawaii. And KRHC 1340, Burnett, Texas. Fines, KLEA 630 and KLEA FM, Lovington, New Mexico, has been fined $7,000 for failure to timely file their renewal application and subsequent unauthorized operation. Well, my thanks go out to Sean Axelrod, Wayne Heinen, Dean McIntyre, and Jonathan Watson for items used this month. If you have anything for AM Switch or have any questions about this month's column, please email me at W underscore R underscore H-A-L-E at sbcglobal.net. I look forward to hearing from you. Coming up next is John Bowker with the next installment of the Travelogue.
National Radio Club.
Well, thanks once again, Bill Hale, and hello, everybody. And if I sound particularly enthusiastic this month, it's because of the outstanding convention we had in Boise, Idaho this past Labor Day weekend. And I was so glad, gee, we got a chance to see and talk with a whole bunch of people, but really to sit down and chat with Wayne Ryan and Terry Livingston Hughes was there, and Mark and Lina Jones, and of course Mike Lance, my Florida buddy, and we had a wonderful time. And Frank Aiden put the whole program together and did a remarkably good job. Well, okay, well, maybe we'll have another review of what went on out there in Boise. But now let's get started with the Travelogue for October, and it's going to be our opening salvo at 1,000 on the dial, 300 meters for the technically inclined. Let's see, we only have two stations that stay on the air at night with any substantial power, like 50,000 watts, and I'll let you guess what those two stations really are.
National Radio Club.
But we'll never get to them if we don't get started, so we'll do that right now by going up into New England, actually to my home state of Vermont, and we'll be going out to West Rutland to a castle, really truly a castle. The home studios with the one tower of the station that couldn't decide where it wanted to be on the dial. At this point, it was at 1,000. As we begin the October 2007 DX Audio Service Travelogue.
AP Network News. I'm Ed Tobias.
Some of you may recall that station moved down to 970 on the dial as a daytimer before it finally got run in by the big 1380 in Rutland. Oh, well. Let's move down into Massachusetts now.
The big one. WLMS Leominster becomes even bigger March 19th. CBS comes to Leominster, Fitchburg, and Clinton.
Now, that's a recording from 1974. 1,000-watt daytimer trying to get into the city of Worcester, primarily. But now, here's an update at 1999.
We will be taking more of your phone calls in just a few minutes. We need to do a little legal thing, and we'll be back with lots of phone calls up until 11 o'clock.
This is the new WCMX, Leominster, Fitchburg, putting the fun back in radio.
And with that, we leave New England and go across the Hudson River into New York, down into the Elmira area, the city of Horseheads, New York. Now, back in 1977, when this recording was made of WIQT, it was a member of the American Information Network. Remember that?
WIQT, Horseheads, New York, the Music One.
And then in 1992, it changed call letters to WLNL. It raised its power to 5,000 watts and went all religion.
And coming up, we have for you In Touch with Dr. Charles Stanley. This is the Lighthouse, AM 1000, WLNL, Horseheads.
Well, now, on this next station, as Paul Mount would caution us, we have to be careful because this station no longer exists. So we got to play the ID just because it did once exist.
Your station for music, news, and information. We're WRNJ, Hackettstown, Long Valley.
AP Network News. I'm Ed Tobias.
Yes, that recording was made in 1997, and when we were back up that way rather recently, the dial was empty. Oh, dear. Now, let's see, we're going to go down into Pennsylvania. Josh Owens was just over in Carlisle and submitted some IDs for us there. Thank you, Josh.
Reporting for Great Radio Carlisle, this is Bob Wallace. Nobody, but nobody, plays more music than Great Radio Carlisle. W-I-O-O.
Okay, if we go south now into the state of Virginia, we come to, well, in the middle of the state of Virginia, a small town called Alta Vista, with a daytime all-news station.
AM 1000, WKDE Alta Vista. It's 2 o'clock.
Hi, this is Les Beasley of the Florida Boys. Stay tuned right where you are for the best in Southern gospel music.
WKDE, Solid Gospel 1000.
Saw him in the manger where they laid the babe to rest.
And then well to the east of Alta Vista is a 300-watt daytime station in Tappahannock, way over here on the eastern side, not far from Chesapeake Bay.
WRAR, Tappahannock, Virginia.
I'm Doug Limerick. New Year's Day means parades and bowl games and resolutions.
And as we continue in our southerly direction on this travelogue at 1,000 on the dial, we come to North Carolina. And over in the Raleigh-Durham market, we come up to another 1,000-watt daytimer.
It all hits Q1000 WKBQ, Garner, Raleigh.
This concludes another day of the finest in radio entertainment from WKBQ. WKBQ is owned and operated by Christopher Maggio. Offices, studios, and transmitting facilities are located at 1423 Creech Road in Garner. WKBQ operates on an assigned frequency of 1,000 kilohertz on your AM dial with a power of 1,000 watts. We invite you to join us first thing tomorrow morning on WKBQ Garner, the radio voice of media phases.
And over a little bit to the west in the middle of the state of North Carolina is another station, this one in Hickory.
WSBF Hickory is boss.
Well, you can't say I didn't hear the station anyway. That's really all I was trying to do in those days. We're going to dip down even further south, south of the border. For any of you who've ever traveled down I-95, you know what I'm talking about. As we enter South Carolina.
You're listening to AM 1000 WGOG Walhalla, South Carolina. It's 5 o'clock. Stay tuned next for NBC News.
NBC Radio News, I'm Barbara Porter.
You know, I was moved to do a little research on Walhalla, South Carolina, and I find it was named after Valhalla. And I'm glad to see that on October 19th to the 21st this year is the annual Walhalla Festival, so I'm sure you'll want to get down there for that. Let's see, we're going to move next to Ty Cobb's hometown in Georgia.
WBIC, Royston, Georgia.
Yeah, the money is tight.
That won't fit.
Gotta spend it right.
Yeah, that fits.
Working too hard to play.
That won't fit.
Shopping by low today.
Yeah, that fits. That fits just right. By low, the name fits.
Now, I should caution you, don't look that one up, because that station also is off the air. In fact, Royston and Walhalla are the two different states, but they're almost right next to each other, so Walhalla seems to have won the day, even though the Walhalla population is less than 2,000. Now, wouldn't you know it, our DX catch of the day comes from the state of Florida.
WIBT, WVHK in Bluntston, and now is such a thing as a classy thrift shop.
Well, yes, Bluntstown is some distance from here, and apparently none of our subscribers to the audio service have ever been there. To make up for that, we sent Clark Ingram over to Jupiter, Florida, for this next ID. And I can assure you that he had to get right near Jupiter because this station, daytimer as it is, only runs 650 watts.
This is Money Watch Radio, AM 1420, WDJA Delray Beach, and AM 1000, WJBW Jupiter.
CNN Radio News, I'm Stan Case.
Well, okay, it's time for our usual about-face. We'll go north into Alabama, all the way up to Huntsville, at the north end of the state, for an 1,100-watt daytimer.
It's 7 o'clock at AM 1000 WTAK, Huntsville. Decatur, Athens, the Valley's only rock and roll.
I don't mind stealing bread.
Dale Hamm picked that one up for us in 1992. Thank you, Dale, and I guess you were back in town in 1997 for this next cut.
WDJL, Huntsville.
And staying in Alabama, but going back 30 years, we visit Robertsdale.
Stay tuned for news. This is WXWY, AM 1000 in Robertsdale, Alabama. Baldwin County Federal Savings Bank time is 8 o'clock. CNN Radio News. Foreign Minister Edward.
Okay, and in 2003, Linda and I were back in town.
And now, please welcome back the director of Snacks Unlimited, General Mills, and today's Grand Marshal, Anton Vincent, as he gives the most famous words in NASCAR Winston Cup racing.
Gentlemen, start your engine.
Let's pause 10 seconds for station identification on the Motor Racing Network.
WBCA, AM 1110, Bay Minette Mobile, and WDXZ, AM 1000, Robertsdale Gulf Shores. Classic Americana country.
Engines have fired here at the North Carolina Speedway. Crew members getting in position for the start of the race.
Well, Alabama's a nice state. Why don't we leave things right here for now, and we'll pick up next month starting in Tennessee, although I have to tell you, the one ID that we have from the one station in Tennessee that broadcasts at 1,000 on the dial is dreadful. However, you'll hear that next month right here on the Travelogue. At least I hope you will. Meantime, I'll get up out of this comfy chair and delightedly make way for Mark Durenberger. Mark, it's all yours.
National Radio Club.
Thanks, John. Mark Durenberger for the DX Audio Service with the second part of our radio journey down the mighty Missouri River. From its headwaters in western Montana to its confluence with the Mississippi near St. Louis. Along the way, we've been stopping at towns along the river to sample some of the radio. And we'll continue our report right now. As we follow the river and the route of the old Great Northern Railroad, we approach the town of Tioga, North Dakota. Tioga is the Iroquois Indian name for Peaceful Valley, descriptive of this area as well as the Tioga area in the state of New York. At one time, Tioga was the largest primary grain market in the world. Farmers brought their grain to market by crossing the Missouri on Walter's Ferry, reaching Tioga on the second day of a three-day journey, unloading and leaving for home early the next day. In the 1950s, oil was discovered in the area, and its economy added a petroleum base. Tioga's station is the second 1090 operation we've found, but this one is a daytimer only.
The news and weather you need with more music more often. We're the Big Cat, KT1090, KTGO, Tioga.
CBS News, I'm Frank Setapani. Survivors of Friday night's Greensburg, Kansas tornado are returning home for the first time now and telling some dramatic rescue stories.
Now we leave Highway 2, well away from the river at Minot, and drop south toward nearby Bismarck, the second state capital on our route. As you might guess, Bismarck was named after the famed German chancellor. Lewis and Clark wintered here in 1804 on their journey upstream. Gold was discovered in 1874. Bismarck-Mandan today is a sprawling metropolis, and for some reason, every time I visit this area, I manage to get lost. I'm not sure if it's my age or because the road signs aren't quite placed where we're used to seeing them. Anyway, on we go, and as we approach and leave Bismarck, we encounter several high-power stations, including the mighty K-Fire on 550, and signals on two of the former Clear Channels, the 1B channels 710 and 1130.
Call KFYR Radio at 255-1234 or go online at www.kfyr.com. The entry deadline is May 15th. Sponsored by Stan Puklick Chevrolet, South Central Regional Water District, and Walwork Truck Center. KFYR Bismarck.
Fox News Radio, I'm Dave Anthony. Vice President Cheney in Baghdad, sitting down face-to-face with Iraqi leaders.
They do believe we are making progress.
Seconds through station identification on the Twins Radio Network.
Your new home for ESPN Sports Radio. This is ESPN 710 KXMR Bismarck Mandan. ESPN 710.
Pena played last night, went 1-for-3. And he'll take ball two outside, two balls and no strikes. Left-handed hitting, J.D. Drew is due up next.
North Dakota's country legend, Country 1130, KBMR, Bismarck Mandan.
From ABC News, I'm Alex Stone, live on the fire line in the Hollywood Hills above Los Angeles, where hundreds of people are evacuated.
Help stop child abuse now, because a child is helpless. You are not. A public service message brought to you by Prevent Child Abuse America and the Ad Council.
Glenn Beck speaks to Central Dakota mornings 8 till 11 on Super Talk 1270, KLXX AM, Mandan Bismarck, a Cumulus Media station.
CNN Radio, I'm Jim Ribble. President Bush is getting a first-hand look at the tornado damage in Greensburg, Kansas.
This part of the mighty Missouri includes some mighty reservoirs, notably Lake Sakakawea, one of the five major lakes created on the river by the federal government in an effort to eliminate the annual flooding of river lowlands. Lake Sakakawea is located in west-central North Dakota, stretches from the Garrison Dam nearly 150 miles to the Montana border. It covers over 365,000 surface acres and has an extended shoreline of over 1,500 miles. As we journey past this huge lake, we'll keep the radios going, heading into South Dakota and Mobridge for our next stop. Mobridge has an interesting name. A telegrapher's dots and dashes gave Mobridge its name when the town was formed as railroad crews were building the bridge across the Missouri River. The telegrapher ended his transmissions, signing M.O. Bridge. The Milwaukee Railroad reached Mobridge on September 9, 1906, and today it doesn't appear to be a prosperous town, but it does have its history. And a local radio station on 1300.
Coming up on the top of the noon hour, ABC News, and then we're going to follow that with all your favorite news and commentary. Sports with Pat Morrison, Successful Farming Radio Magazine, a look at the weather, and of course, Paul Harvey, all coming up next.
Depend on us. AM 1300 KOLY, Mobridge, a member of the Dakota Radio Group.
From ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Surprise visit to Iraq. Vice President Dick Cheney arriving unannounced in Baghdad today.
As with several others on 1300, Tioga has a nice daytime signal at 5,000 watts. And even at night, with 111 watts, they do very well in the region. South to Pier we go. Founded in 1880 on the river, opposite Fort Pier. Pier has been South Dakota's capital since 1889. It's also a major statewide transportation hub and is famous for its Memorial Hall and its two well-run radio stations.
Photos and links to My Daily News sponsors, where many times you will find valuable savings. So click around. Don't just scroll through it. Interact with it. And if you don't get My Daily News, sign up today and get it in your email inbox the following weekday morning. My Daily News is a free service of Dakota Radio Group.
Real country, pure country. 1060 KGFX, Pier, a member of the Dakota Radio Group.
From ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston.
While there was a dark day in the past, there's brighter days ahead.
President Bush touring what's left of Greensburg, Kansas, the town that was torn apart by last week's tornado.
You're listening to Central South Dakota's information and entertainment leader, KCCR Pier, 1240 on your AM dial at 2 o'clock.
CBS News, I'm Harley Carnes. Floodwaters have covered miles and miles of riverbank towns along the Platte and the Missouri rivers.
More concerns about flooding ahead on the mighty Mo. At 10,000 watts day, KGFX does a terrific job with regional service. And they were the first station we copied when we laid out our beverage antenna in Marble Canyon, Arizona, oh so many years ago. As I recall, it was their nighttime 1,000 watts we copied, with a signal pointed away from us. That was our first hint of the power of the beverage. Probably the most famous of the lakes on the Upper Missouri is the Owyhee Reservoir, 5 miles north of Pierre. It's the fourth largest reservoir in the U.S., and the second largest earth-fill structure of its kind in the world, built back in 1958 as part of the Missouri River Reclamation Project. Nearby is Winter, South Dakota, home of KWIR. I gotta tell you, I recorded for over an hour to get the ID, and I couldn't believe the commercials on that station. At one point, I heard 22 minutes of back-to-back commercials, a short weathercast, and another 7 minutes of spots before the legal ID.
Have a super-duper day.
Super-duper, let's have some fun.
Come on by now.
Super-duper.
This is Country 1260, KWIR, AM 1260, Winter, South Dakota. We are local AM radio for South Dakota and Nebraska.
From ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston.
We follow the Great Big Lake south now to Interstate 90 at Chamberlain and beyond, heading for Iowa. But on the radio, we've been hearing about severe flooding on the river below Sioux City, and it's beginning to appear as though we'll have to truncate our trip. There's a station in Yankton on 570 WNAX that once claimed it had the largest land area coverage of any station in the country. A dubious claim, to be sure, but they really do get out from their overbuilt, oversized tower. And their signal is familiar to us several hundred miles to the east in the Twin Cities.
The WNEX Twins Baseball Adventure. Don't you get left behind. Reserve your seats today.
Twins Baseball on Radio 570 WNEX in Yankton. Brought to you by Christensen Well and Irrigation, your T&L Pivot Systems dealer in Huntington, Nebraska. Give them a call at 402-254-6809.
It's time for Twins Baseball on the Minnesota Twins Radio Network.
Swing and a miss and a high heart.
Yankton was the original capital of Dakota Territory. It's named for the Yankton tribe of Sioux Indians, just downstream of the Gavin's Point Dam and Lewis and Clark Lake, and just upstream of the confluence with the famous James River. It's a lovely town to visit, and it turned out to be the decision point for us. The news of the river ahead was all discouraging. So we decided to call it a week and head for home, with the self-made promise of tackling the second half of the Missouri on a later adventure. But before we leave, a few more radio signals. First, 1450, also in Yankton.
News, weather, sports, and special reports on Yankton events and activities. No station tries harder to cover Yankton than KYNT. That's why we're Yankton's home team.
Everybody needs a little time away.
The sports outlet from Vermilion, South Dakota.
Mom, we're back.
Who wants Ovaltine?
We do.
We better make more.
More Ovaltine, please.
1570, The Ticket. KBTK AM, Vermilion, Yankton. The Tri-State's ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Mark Kester. Share the Milwaukee Brewers' fabulous start to the 2007 season continued this afternoon. Jeff Jenkins, eighth inning RBI single.
Great signal day, but only 71 watts at night. And finally, three from Sioux City, a Missouri River town located in three states. We'll learn more about Sioux City and its importance on the Missouri when we return with the second half of our journey. Here's a sample of Sioux City Radio.
Hi, this is Kirk Heiner. Bulls basketball comes your way on Fox Sports Radio.
Sports Radio.
Source is 620 KMNS, covering four states. The Fox.
Every big game.
Every big story.
We are there.
It's game time.
All you have to do is put together all the parts that come in the kit.
It's Fox.
1-877-9 no spin. Lines are popping. We'll be back in a moment.
Hey, Sean Hannity here, and KSCJ Sioux City is celebrating 80 wonderful years of broadcasting, and I'm so proud to be a part of the family.
I am so sorry. If there's anything I can do, please let me know.
The truth is, the best thing that anyone can do for anyone in a situation of death is having pre-planned for it.
Pero te vas a arrepentir, los Yonix. En la preciosa, muy buenas tardes, soy José Luis Arenas. 1-800-862-5772, mañana, 10 de mayo. Acuérdense que no solamente es un día, son 365 días para recordar, para festejar, para amar a nuestra mamá.
And that, dear loyal listeners, is the radio chronicle of our recent trip down the Upper Missouri River, from the headwaters in Montana to Yankton, South Dakota. We're many hundreds of miles into the 2,341-mile river journey, which continues on its way to the Mississippi near St. Louis, defining the borders of Iowa and Nebraska before heading east through Missouri. Hopefully, we'll be able to continue this trip. And, of course, we will continue our band scan reports next month here on the DX Audio Service. Mark Dernberger for all the editors and contributors of the DXAS, wishing you well and hoping we'll see you here again in about 30 days. Until then, good listening, DXers.
National Radio Club.
Thanks, Mark. John Bowker's back, and he wants to tell us a little bit about what's going to be happening with the travelogue over the next few years. John?
Well, Fred, during the Boise convention, in discussions with several of the DX Audio Service listeners, I told them of my plans to make a change in the travelogue collection of station breaks. Now, since Linda and I are no longer in a position to travel all over the country with radios and tape recorders, we're really not able to keep up with all the changes in call signs that take place on a weekly basis that Bill Hale reports on. You'll recall that from 1988 until 1998 in our motorhome, we made three sweeps across the country. We passed within a few miles of every AM station in the country, well, that is the 48 states, except for Northern Nevada and the Graveyard Station in John Day, Oregon. And happily since then, others have filled in the collection beautifully with recordings of all those stations. But in order to maintain some semblance of order to the project, I've concluded that the travelogue collection will stop trying to keep up with changes that occurred after December 31st, 1999. In other words, I really believe that the AM radio years belong to the 20th century, and the collection should reflect that. Now, I have briefed others, Scott Feibusch, who travels all over the country still, and Garrett Wallman, with his impressive collections of IDs on the Boston Radio Archives website, and they are in touch with people on the Top of the Hour websites, and I know those are all going to continue to grow, and there may be other collections I've just never tumbled to, and that's great. The contributions of so many of our DX Audio Service subscribers have made this whole project seem very worthwhile, and I really dearly love to receive tapes from all of our listeners, and CDs too, of course. But my plan now is not to add any new call signs that weren't on the air as of January 1st, 2000. Now, I realize the travelogue will become an historic record of station IDs, but maybe that's got some value, and I'm going to continue doing that and organizing it, and I hope it'll still amuse you on the travelogue each month. Now, what I would really love to find is someone who is just retiring now with the ability to travel at will anywhere in the country, who has the same desire that I had starting in 1942, by the way, listening to AM stations and making recordings on the old vinyl discs. A collection of IDs beginning in the year 2000 would certainly be an exciting follow-on to this travelogue collection you've been hearing for the last 20 years on the audio service. And what remains are some major decisions about how to save all these sounds for the long-term future. It's funny because, you know, if this were happening 40 years ago, I'd say, well, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll put them all on LP or 45 RPM records or some stereo 8 tapes. And, of course, we'd be in trouble today. 25 years ago, we were all using cassette tapes, and of course we still are in many cases. And as recently as 10 or 12 years ago, we would have switched everything over to CDs as a permanent form of storage, but of course that is no longer the case. And you can see that anything we select will probably have a time limit of maybe 12 to 15 years. At that point, we'll be searching back of antique stores to find a CD player that still works in all likelihood. I have no intention of disappearing from the AMDX scene, God willing, but I thought I should make my plans public and share them with you since you've made this hobby so much fun for me over the years. So, thanks for letting me interrupt, Fred.
Thanks, John. And there's a new sheriff in CPC land. His name is Jim Poe, KH2AR, and he's got some DX tests lined up for him. Let's give him a whirl. Well, actually, it's WIRL 1490 in Peoria, Illinois, which will conduct a DX test on Sunday morning, late Saturday night, October the 21st, from 2 to 4 a.m. Central Time. They will do this test with 5,000 watts using their normal daytime pattern. Programming will consist of voice IDs, Morse code, 1,000 hertz tones, and regular formatted classic country music. Reception reports may be sent to Wayne Miller, chief engineer of WIRL. Also, WLPO 1220 in LaSalle, Illinois, will be conducting a DX test Saturday morning, late Friday night, October the 27th, from 3 until 3:30 a.m. Central Time. This test will be done 1,000 watts using their normal daytime pattern. Programming will consist of phonetic voice IDs, Morse code, sweep tone, and unique music. Reception reports may be sent to Steve Vogler, chief engineer of WLPO. And finally, WIGG 1420 in Wiggins, Mississippi will conduct a DX test Sunday morning, late Saturday night, November the 4th, 2007, from 4 until 4:30 a.m. Central Time. Please note this will be the morning that we change to daylight savings time, standard time in most of North America. This test will be 5,000 watts using a non-directional antenna. Programming will consist of voice announcements and Morse code IDs. Give them a listen. That's your CPC.
At this time, please turn over your tape to side two.